when we left off last time, we had gone through the Sodos of the Esser of Meister Shabbos in Sif Aleph, but there were a lot of details that we had to fill in. So, for example, one issue we want to discuss is the two things we want to point out about cases where it might be usher even past that day, even if let's say it's Bahrain or Bashogig, etc. One of the interesting examples in the Bir Halacha, Dibur Achal Maskel Achas Mi, Mishar Malachos, in the second half, where he quotes from the Gemara that if there's something which should be usher to use that day, but you can't use it that day anyway, like someone planted a tree, then in order for there to be some knas, meaning you can, no such thing as ushering a tree on that day, there's no such thing. So then we'd be more machmir and we would answer it forever. That's a big kiddush. It doesn't come up that much. There aren't that many things you can't be, you can't use on that day. It's basically like planting, but that's a big chumrah of the bir halacha. And another case where the Mishnah Berurah is down from the Magen Avraham, that it would be usher for longer than that day. It has nothing to do with the Kasa Meisah Shabbos, but in Sifkat and Hay, he just mentioned Agav Orcha, that if Yontif is on Sunday, then whatever you cook on Shabbos is usher on Yontif because of a special rule called Hachana Derabba, which is the basically the first sugya of Maseches Beitza, which is that Shabbos can't prepare for Yontif. That's a special rule. That's a special rule that you can't like eat something on Yontif that was prepared on Shabbos. Okay, so that would be a very two unique circumstances where you have more of an issue than you think, for totally different reasons. So number one, the bir halacha and the rascal achas, which is if something is not usable for a long time, then it becomes usher forever, just there'll be some effect of the knas. And two, the mishabur in the end of Sukkot and Hay, for the Magen Avraham, if Yontif is Sunday, whatever you prepare on Shabbos can't be used on Yontif, nothing to do with the knas. It's just a fundamental rule of the relationship between Shabbos and Yontif, that Shabbos cannot prepare for Yontif. Okay, more practical issues. The question is, what's usher? So the Gemara says Mefurish, and Mishabur brings it down in Sifkat and Dalid, that the Gemara says, if you cook on Shabbos, it's usher ba'achila, but it's not usher in hanah. What does that mean, says the Mishnah Berurah? If you cook on Shabbos, it's usher to eat forever, but you're allowed to sell it and use the money. Likewise, we assume, when it comes to all the other melachos, you're not allowed to sort of directly benefit from that. If you sew clothing, you can't wear the clothing, but you can sell it and use the money. That is generally accepted. One place where this... So for example, for that reason, the Igros Moshe says if it's just an indirect benefit, even on Shabbos, obviously on Shabbos you can't sell things, but what's the example of indirect benefit on Shabbos? Someone, you needed to get a book or a food or a drink or something from a dark room and you couldn't find it, someone turned on the light, a yid turned on the light and found the drink or the book or the toy or whatever you want, whatever he was looking for. You can use that on Shabbos, because that's not directly using the result of the malacha. That's just being indirectly from the malacha. And the principle, when the Gemara says that it's usher to eat, but mutter to sell and use the money, what that means is usher to actually use the heft of the malacha was done to, the direct benefit. But it's mutter to use something that was just indirectly caused by that chilul Shabbos. So, for example, in the shaila I mentioned the other day that someone sent me, if you have a kosher restaurant where the non-from workers all drive there on Shabbos to get there when the mashgiach lets them open the door on Matzah Shabbos, even though you're benefiting from the chilul Shabbos of all these people who drove there on Shabbos, since you're not benefiting from their cars or from like having them work for you there, they just came on Shabbos and they cooked things. And then you benefit from the things that they cook. So that would be mutter, because you're not directly benefiting from what they made, what they mechal Shabbos.
But if you saw it actually preparing in the restaurant.
Right, that wasn't the Shiloh. This Shiloh wasn't dressed with Ashgacha and the restaurant was locked till after Shabbos.
If someone was actually, if they were preparing on Shabbos, like cleaning the floors, like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would that be problematic too?
It potentially could be problematic. I mean, you have to figure out exactly, you know, what's called nena. You know, if they clean the floor on Shabbos. So, I mean, there are other ways of cleaning the floor. Most ways of cleaning the floor. And, you know, what does it mean to be nena for the clean floor? Do you have to wait till it gets dirty again? That's it's an interesting question. You know, if someone cleans the floor, you nena from that? It might depend how dirty the floor was. Often when they clean the floor, it just makes it look nice.
If they clean the floor, they might be doing other things too.
Right, so then it would potentially be a problem, for sure.
Even though normally you don't have to wait Kiddush Yasu, here, are you benefiting from the fact that it's ready half an hour earlier or something?
Yes, you are, but I don't think they were gozer in that benefit because that's not the heft of the Chol Shabbos. So then it would be okay. So that's an important meaning. If you're talking about the actual thing they did the melacha to, that's the problem. If you're just talking, they did the melacha to one thing, and then that ended up leading to something else, then that's not bichlal this gzira. That's what Rav Moshe says. And what's his raya? His raya is that, look, is machlozah, the deraisa, the rabbanon. If it's deraisa, it's because it's called kodesh, and it's only asr b'achila, but mutar b'anah. What does that prove? That the answer is in the, even if it's rabbanon, it's probably the same general idea of the mandar rabbanon deraisa, just like mandar deraisa. It was an issue in this chefta, and only like directly benefit from this chefta, so too in the mandar rabbanon. They were gozer, and this chefta, the chol Shabbos, was done too, but if that indirectly let you be netta from a different chefta, then that's okay. We have some borderline cases where the machlokes are motion Shlomo Zalman that I put here on the Makoro sheet in the brackets, I think. What if this is Meisim, unfortunately Meisim Chol Yom, back in Ramosha's early days in America, right, when Orthodox shuls in America meant everyone was still Machal Shabbos. So the Gabbai, the Shul, the Shabbos of the Shul, also Machal Shabbos. So what if you carry the keys through Rosh Hashanah Rabin and open up a door on Shabbos? So that's a big machlokas. Rav Moshe says, if you carry keys and open a door, no, that is, you're not allowed to go into that door. I mean, if he would carry keys, open up the door, and bring you something from the house, that would be mutter. But to walk through the door, they open that keys, that's the direct use of the keys. The whole point of carrying keys is keys open doors. And therefore, this door is usher to walk through, because that's the direct benefit of the key. What does it mean to a key is an open door? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's going a little too far. What would be usher if he used the key? But once he opened the door, you're walking through a doorway. He didn't carry the doorway on Shabbos. So you have certain borderline cases. This is a borderline case. On the one hand, it's not like coincidentally he happened to get something. See, the door being open is the usage of the key. That's what Moshe says. Using a key is going through a door that was opened by the key. That's the direct usage of a key. That's the whole mahos of a key. Moshe Mazan says, no, the key is one chefta, and the doorway is a different chefta. And he carried the key, but he didn't carry the doorway. Doorways can't move. So therefore, that would be a borderline case. Lamaiser of Moshe is machmer on that. He says, if someone carried the key in the street on Shabbos, then you cannot... then you can't go through the door, and basically, if that's the way they open the shul, you can't daven in the shul. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, no, you can go through the door, you just can't use the key. So that's a borderline case. L'chora, if they're necessary, the room to be made like Rosh Shlomo Zalman on this. Yes?
In the case that we gave last time, the Gemara, where she's cooking the food on Shabbos, so are the pots also lesser?
Oh, we'll get that in a second. We'll get that in a second. And one last... thing I would point out is the discussion of the Bir Halacha in the beginning of the Rascal Achas, which basically the big machlokes from Shomen. It's machlokes between the Rashba versus the Rabban and the Ritva. What if it's the Chefza the Lach was done to, but the Chefza didn't change or improve? What about Hotzah? Rav Moshe assumes the Rapasha carrying the key is also to use. But even that's not so Pasha, right? That's machlokes from Shomen, because after all, there's no improvement in the Chefta. It's just in a new place that the Chefta didn't change. Maybe it's only us, sir, if there's something new in the Chefta. But if it's the same chatz in a different place, maybe that shouldn't be usur. So that is a big machlokes rishonim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Chai Adam makes a pshara. He says if someone carried something through Rishus Haram to a new place, then his pshara is we should be makil. His pshara is we should make it like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Yehuda. So. So therefore he says, even though normally the Shulchan Aruch apostle like Rabbi Yehuda, for Otsah, since it's Machlok Rishonim, when the Isser applies to Otsah, we should be Mekil like Rabbi Meir, which means if someone did Otsah B'Shogeg, no problem at all, and if someone did Otsah B'Mezid, then it's only Usher on that day. Okay, that's still a problem in Moshe's case, for the guy did Otsah B'Mezid, and then you wanted to go through that doorway that day, but in general, very shy if there are some people who don't really know that much about Otsah or are experts in Otsah. Sometimes Israelis go to Chutzlarts who never heard of Otsah because everything has an Erev in Israel. They go to Chutzlarts. They don't know there's a Malach of Otsah. They don't have an advanced yeshiva education. And they carry things, B'Shogeg, or someone doesn't know the Erev is down, or etc., etc. If someone carries things, B'Shogeg, we can for sure be Mekel to use those things based on this... based on this Chai Adam. Okay, yes,
go. If you build the Erev overall of Manhattan, that would help.
Okay.
It
was done. What? It's an interesting question. Would you have the same clues in Lechus of Borer? In the Simon of Borer, the Shabur Kor of the Prima God who said no. Borer is really considered more of an improvement to the Chetza than Hotzah. Because the Chetza itself is more pure. I hear they have Amina, but okay. So that's just what were a few details we dealt with in terms of the time. We dealt with the issue of Netiya, that there's no immediate nafkamina, and then we dealt with the issue of Yontav Achar Shabbos, and I'll put a little asterisk because the issue there has nothing to do with Maisa Shabbos. It's because of a totally separate principle that you can't eat something on Yontif that was prepared on Shabbos because of the relationship between Shabbos and Yontif, which is don't sugya. And then we dealt with the issue of what benefit is usur, and we saw the difference between direct usage versus indirect tanah, or in the Lashon of the Gemara, achila versus hana'as damim in the Lashon of the Poskim, and we saw the machlokes about a door. We saw the Hotzah compromise of the Chai Adam is the Paskin like Rabbi Meir, even the Chora, let's say even your Sephardi, you for sure Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, you can make a Paskin like Rabbi Meir for Hotzah, because among the Sephardi Rishonim, half of them said there's no problem in Hotzah at all, because the Chefta didn't change, so there's no Chilul Shabbos in the Chefta. And half of them says it's still a problem. Yes?
It was a classic case, and I guess I'm wondering, is this enough? If this is enough information to answer, and if not, I guess we'll wait, about someone driving, a cake to you, to come to your meal on Shabbos and drives it over. Is that a Hotzah thing?
That's a great question. What if someone drives to your house on Shabbos and brings you a cake? What?
There's no malacha done on the cake.
So here, there's clearly no meaning there's less malacha done on the cake even than Hotzah. Now again, people who drive might also do Hotzah, because usually if you drive, you probably drive outside of an area, but not necessarily. Someone could have just driven from one side of Forest Hills to the other side of Forest Hills. Even within the area, if they just, they don't like to walk half an hour. Right. So if someone drives a cake to your house on Shabbos, on the one hand, the malacha was in they made a fire in their engine, right? They didn't make a fire on the cake. Even though, they sort of used that fire to transport a cake. That's a great question. The simple pshat would sound like if they didn't do Hotzah, then eating the cake should be mutter, because they didn't do any malacha on the cake. They do malacha on the car.
Even if they did otzah, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah.
Even if they did otzah, if they did it b'shogeg, then we're making. No, but the Mishnah Berurah just said we make it like we're made, or still if they did it b'mezid, it's usher that day. So that's not going to help you so much. Yeah. But it might seem to be that if someone drove something in a car, then since they. The Iker Hanava car is getting a ride in the car. Right? That's the real Hanah. The real Hanah is getting a trip in their car. Over here, just eating the cake afterwards. It would seem to be that you can be makel. But again, since usually people who drive to Hotzah, and usually people who drive to B'mezid, so it'd still be a problem, because he was only makel like Rebbe Meir by Hotzah. Even according to Rebbe Meir, Mezid is still a problem that day. So, not such a great problem in the end.
Camp, though, isn't it? They had the workers, they said, we're having a kiddush, whatever it is, that part of camp, and the workers who aren't Jewish drove the stuff the other part.
Yeah, but that's different. Because that's a much more mutter. First of all, the workers there weren't Jewish. And even though you're not supposed to sell non-Jewish workers to work on Shabbos, but you have mechalek between a case where they could have carried it in a wagon and not. They could have carried it in a wagon and they decided to drive to save themselves effort. And that would be mutter because you didn't tell them. They're not working for you on Shabbos. They're just working to because they don't. They're not driving for you on Shabbos. They're just driving for their own free time, so they can have more free time and not have to schlep. So that would be taka mutter. Meaning in a lot of camps, they might let go and drive on Shabbos. I don't know if it's solach hashkila to the atmosphere, etc., but it's not necessarily usher to let the go and drive on Shabbos, as long as you didn't tell them to drive. You told them to walk or to get it there on their own, and they decide to drive because they don't want to schlep by hand, but they could have, then it might be considered them working for themselves and not for you. On the other hand, if it's stuff that's too much to carry, then it would be a potentially problem. Yes?
Does this knasa extend to Amir La'akum?
By Amir La'akum, we have similar idea of the Asir B'Klei Shiyasu. Yeah, it's slightly different halachos, but it's the same, similar basic idea. Okay, two other issues. It are, number one, what about the B'lias Kalim of Ma'aseh Shabbos? When does the B'lias Kalim come up? So again, for Acherim, B'lias Kalim is not much of an issue. Because for Acherim, it's only usher that day. And whatever, you're not going to cook something else in the pot that day. It's Shabbos. But the issue is, what about for the person himself? Right? Let's say a guy becomes a Baal Tshuva. So his whole life, he cooked B'mezid in his pots on Shabbos. Right? Now, or let's say a guy once, he becomes a Baal Tshuva. Are his pots treif? After all, they have a B'li of Ma'aseh Shabbos, which for himself is usher forever. So that could be a real shaila. So this is a big machlokes haposkim. The Magen Avraham quotes, he says he has a careful lashon. Mashma v'rashva. Da'kdeira sur gamkein. Magen Avraham says, mashma, the later poskim say, the modern day akronim say, it's not so posh in the Rashba. It sounds from the Shuk Rashba like the B'lias Kalim of Osher, because it mamish becomes an Isser Chefta. It becomes a Chefta of Treif. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that way. So, Mishnah, Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah say Usser because it's an Isser Chefta, which is really not so crazy based on what we've said, that it's if the Drabbanans are similar to the Manner of Daraisim, Yochanan Sander holds Daraisim, learns from Kodesh and Kodesh, the Lashon of Isser Chefta, maybe it really becomes an Isser Chefta.
I would have thought that, first of all, Tosfos says that it's usher for him only to Motzi Shabbos, right? It's only that Rashi and Tosfos says that it's usher.
No, the other way around. Everyone says it's usher for him forever, except for one funny Rashi.
Okay, and I guess, even if that's so, B'lias Kalim, you're not nehneh from it after 24 hours. So what are you benefiting from?
Aha, because if it's really treif, then we know that whenever there's treif in a kli, even though after 24 hours it fills the tam lefgam, they made a gzeira on tam lefgam, otu tam leshvach. Right? Gzeira ain't with him, otu ben yomo, so it still might be also lechachas. Yeah. So, B'lias Kalim, when does this come up? This comes up, for the mevashel himself. Why? Because for other people it's not really going to come up, because for other people it's only also on that day. So, what's the issue? Just no one's going to cook in the pot that day. The issue is, for him, it's usher forever, someday he'll decide to start keeping Shabbos, and are the B'lias of his are the B'lias of his Kalim usher.
It's only if it's treif, though. If he just does something regular on Shabbos...
No, I'm talking about doing something regular on Shabbos.
Okay.
Because it turns treif, because the Yisur Maisa Shabbos.
That makes it treif?
That's what the Magen Avraham sounds like. I mean, if you... However, the Rav had a Masorah from his father. The Rav had a Masorah from his father that... No. That's not Nisra Chetzah. After all, it's mutter for everyone else to eat after Shabbos, just not for him. So that can't be a Chetzah treif if it's only usher for him. So he says, nope. It's an Isser Gavra. And he says, no, the Knas is only an Isser Gavra. A Reuven HaSander might be different. He might say Imanus turns treif, because he says B'meiz that it's usher for everyone forever. But since we Paschal, it's only usher for him, because it's Isser Gavra, because only usher forever for him. If it's only usher forever for him, because of a Knas on him, then clearly it doesn't mean it's treif. It just means we want to teach this guy a lesson. That's called a Knas. And therefore, since it's not inherently treif, it's just that he shouldn't benefit from it. So if he cooks other things in the pot, he's not benefiting from his chol Shabbos. What if I cook on Shabbos in a pot, and then on Tuesday I cook noodles in the same pot? Or even on Saturday night I cook noodles in the same pot. I'm really benefiting from the fact that I cook meatballs on Shabbos? No. So therefore, the Rav said in the name of his father that there's no problem in the pot. However, and other modern-day poskim agree, it's not a shittus yachid. However, the Magen Avraham, the Mishabura, the mainstream poskim assume that no, it turns into a serchefta for him. For him, it's considered treif, and therefore, even the pot is treif, and he has to kosher his pot.
The fact that you heated up the pot, is that like mishtana when there's something
melacha
done to the pot?
No, it's not melacha done to the pot. Melacha done to food that was nivle into the pot.
No, but when you heat up, when you have the pot over the...
No, it's the bleaks of the pot. Okay.
I mean, just
again, like, it doesn't come up a lot because the nafkamina is only for the guy himself, so it would only be if the guy's bachal Shabbos and then cared about halacha later. But that could happen sometimes. Meaning, have the guy who's cooked on Shabbos but didn't cook treif. So if he cooked treif, his pot would be treif anyway. Cooked on Shabbos but didn't cook treif, which could happen. Like, you know, there's some less traditional conservative Jews out there who eat kosher but who cook on Shabbos. So then he decided to be shomer Shabbos, so he eats bachal Shabbos and makes it. Our old pot's treif, our old pot's kosher, that would be this machlokas, the achrona. Yes, Nathan.
I don't have much questions, it's just baffling.
Which sheet is baffling?
No, I mean, as well as for myself, no one ever said, like, no one ever mentioned this. I feel like if it was more mainstream, someone would have said, like, by the way, you know, I spoke religious, you know, this is your pot.
It could be one of the reasons no one mentions this, because usually people who are religious ate treif anyway before they were religious, so their pots are treif anyway because they eat treif food.
Uh-huh.
So it would only have to be somebody who ate kosher food but cooked on Shabbos,
right.
Which is not so common. Not so common nowadays. You know, it's a bit of an old-fashioned tipos. There are less every year. There are less and less Jews left who are makban on kashrus, but not on Shabbos. That's I don't think there are a lot of 20 somethings like that. That's more of an old style Judaism. I think one should try to be machmer on this. Lemaisa, I think one should try to be machmer on this, unless you're like a real Talmud Mavuk of the Rav. I think it would be Kedai to be Machra on this, because that is the Psak of the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah and most of the modern post.
You're saying you'd have to kasher the pot.
Yeah, you'd have to kasher the pot. Okay, what if it was a Kli Cheres? Then you could just kasher it three times, because for an Issur Drabanan that has no source in the Torah, it's enough to kasher Kli Cheres three times, as we learned last year. Okay, one last very Lumdish Indian that comes up here is the very Lumdish Indian of Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin. What's the case of Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin? So, what if you have a tarovis of Maisa Shabbos and kosher food? So, one case is easy. What's the normal rule? The normal rule is that there's Bittel B'Shishim, but for Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, something that will be mutter later, there's no Bittel at all. So, the Magen Avraham has a famous machlokas with pshat in a Rambah in Yoredeah. And the way at least the Magen Avraham understands this, even though it's not so pashut, is what about the following case? What about a mashahu of Maisa Shabbos? So again, if you have a mashahu of Maisa Shabbos b'shogeg, Shenis Arev, Beheter. Then, Maisa Shabbos B'Shogeg, after Shabbos is going to be Mutter. That's called Dover Sheish L'Matirin, so it would not be Batel. And that's not the case that he's discussing. The answer would be, Eino Batel, because it is a Dover Sheish L'Matirin. The rule is, if it'll just be Mutter to eat after Shabbos, you don't rely on Bittel to eat it on Shabbos. The interesting case he discusses is, what about a Mashahu of Maisa Shabbos B'Mezid? Again, that's the rule. The rule is that even though it's Bittel B'Shishim, Treifik gets mixed with kosher, less than a 60th is Mutter. But that's if it's a Treif forever. If it'll be Mutter later, then just wait till it's later and there's no Bittel. Why you Bittel when you can just wait till it's later and it'll be Mutter? So again, if you have Maisa Shabbos B'Shogeg, which for sure Mutter after Shabbos, gets mixed into regular food, just wait till after Shabbos and eat it, and what do you need Bittel for? Don't use Bittel if you can just wait. However, what if Maisa Shabbos B'Mezid? Shenis Arev Beheter. This is tricky. How would you analyze it? The problem is that for Acherim, it's Yesh Lo Matirin. For Acherim, after Shabbos is after Gomer. But for him, it's Ein Lo Matirin. So, this is a big machlokas. Haposkim. The Mishnah Berurah assumes, even though it's like that's a great question, like how do you look at it? Do you look at it from the perspective of him? It's Ein Lo Matirin, so it's Batel. But from the perspective of everyone else, it's Yesh Lo Matirin. So there's a big machlokas between the Pshat of the Ramah and Yordaya that the Magen Avraham is coming to argue against. And then the Chavos Das in Yordaya there defends the Ramah against the Magen Avraham, the Ramah, and the Chavos Das. Does Mishnah Berurah mention the Chavos Das? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
What? No. The Bir Halacha does? Okay. No. Okay, Beseder. By Chavos Das, yeah, the Mishnah Berurah does. The Mishnah Berurah, the end is cut in half. I thought he did. The Ramah, the Pshat of the Ramah, and the Chavos Das say that this is called Ein Lo Matirin, and therefore it is Batel. The Magen Avraham says this is called Yesh Lo Matirin, and therefore is not Batel. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Magen Avraham also brings up one day that says maybe depends who wants to eat it, who it belongs to right now. But the Mishnah Berurah said, the way the Mishnah Berurah analyzes them, although this is not a Dover Pasha, is that for Acherim, it's certainly Yesh Lo Matirin. They could just wait till after Shabbos. And it was Yesh Lo Matirin, therefore it is not Batel. For him is where the machlokas is. For him, the Ramah and the Chavos Das say Batel, and the Magen Avraham says it's not Batel. Why? The Ramah and the Chavos Das say paradoxically, he is more makel than Acherim, right? Acherim have to wait till Shabbos to eat it, and for him it's Batel. That's paradoxical. The Magen Avraham says no. If it's Yesh Lo Matirin for someone, it's Yesh Lo Matirin for everyone, and that seems to be the machlokas. Magen Avraham says Yesh Lo Matirin for one is Yesh Lo Matirin for everyone, and Ramah and the Chavos Das say no. For one person, Yesh Lo Matirin, for another person, it is Ein Lo Matirin. So that's to analyze this. He says that it's if Yesh Lo Matirin for one person, it's called Yesh Lo Matirin for everyone. Like, there's only one answer. Either it's Yesh Lo Matirin or Ein Lo Matirin. It's Yesh Lo Matirin for one person, it's Aser. While the Ramah and the Chavos Das say no. Each person has a different psak. Right, so does Yesh Lo Matirin go by each person, or do you have to have one answer for everyone? That's about closing the Magen Avraham here, and the Chavos Das. The Magen Avraham brings a raya he says, I mean, he himself admits this raya is not according to everyone, but according to most poskim, if Bikurim, right, get mixed up outside of Yerushalayim, for a Kohen you see Yerushalayim, because you could bring them to Yerushalayim, but for a Zar, it's Ein Lo Matirin, because you can never eat them. So we say that they're even usher for the Zar, because Yerushalayim for the Kohen, Yerushalayim for everyone. The Chavos Das answers back, he says, no, that's different. By the Zar, by the Bikurim, there's two different Yisurim. There's an Isser of Zaras and an Isser of Chutz. The Isser of Zaras has no Matirim, the Isser of Chutz has Matirim even for the Yisrael. Even the Yisrael, the Isser of Chutz, the Yerushalayim has Matirim. As opposed to here, there aren't two different Yisurim. There's just one Isser, and there's no Matirim at all for Atzmo. Which, okay, there's a lot of lumdus we're not going to get into now. If you want, we can discuss it during Seder time. They really, you can analyze this lumdus with, it's a very labedic and very deep. You can get into it for hours, but we're going to leave it at that for now. Yes? Okay. We'll leave it at this for now. Magen Avraham just looks objectively, says, the Yesh Lamatiran is also for everyone. Well, the Ramah and the Chavos Das say, no, each person can have their own sock, whether it's Yesh Lamatiran or Ein Lamatiran. Yes?
Is this the headquarters of the Sugya in terms of Maiz Shabbos? Is it coming from your idea, or this is the headquarters of this, like,
no, because it's the Ramah talks about this explicitly. The Sinukot Beis of your day and Yesh Lamatiran. So the headquarters is also there. And there, headquarters is probably more there because it has more to do with alumnus of Yishlam Atirin than with alumnus of Maisa Shabbos, even though last year in Gemara Shir I suggested maybe could tie the alumnus of Maisa Shabbos also, but we're not going to get into that now. Okay, we're ready for Sif Beis then. Sif Beis brings some other issues besides the Gezerah of Maisa Shabbos. There are other issues that could come up when someone is Mechal Shabbos, even if they didn't do an Isser. What would be the case if they didn't do an Isser, or they're Mechal Shabbos and they didn't do an Isser, if they're Mechal Shabbos for the sake of? Sipis. Achol Shish Azkar, Pikuach Nefesh. So, clearly there's no Knas of Isser Shabbos. It's a Knas, it's a big mitzvah, right? You have to be Mizdaris from Mechal Shabbos to save someone's life. But nonetheless, there are some halachic issues that come up. What are the halachic issues that come up? So, let's see. The Gemara brings up two possible halachic issues. What are the two possible halachic issues that could come up by melacha? B'makom pikuach nefesh. Clearly, there's no knas of ma'aser Shabbos. What are the two halachic issues the Gemara discusses at the end of the sugya of ma'aser Shabbos? Mukta. One problem is mukta, and the other problem is a gzeira atu riboy shirim, right? Gzeira shemiyarbu b'shvilo. One issue is mukta. The mukta is shayach more in the shochet than the mevashel. Why? Because mevashel, the raw food's not mukta. If you're stuck, you can eat raw food. Okay, the Achronim discuss whether nowadays that we're a little more spoiled than they were in those days. That's still true. But certainly in the days of Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that nowadays raw meat, a lot of raw food might be mukta because we're more spoiled. But in those days, they would eat raw meat. So there's some mukta that is shayach for the shochet b'Shabbos, right? The animal is mukta, live animal is mukta, it's not useful, but not for the mevashel b'Shabbos. Why? Because raw food, you can eat raw food if you really want to. Okay, again, a guy does melacha for a cholish yeshu sakana. Now, nowadays, this whole thing is not so common. Meaning, nowadays, we have modern medicine. If there's a chol sheish v'sakana, what do? You will hardly ever, like, shecht or cook him food. You bring him to the hospital and you give him, you know, surgery or medicines, etc. I never heard of a case nowadays where, like, oh, you have to, like, cook soup for a chol sheish v'sakana. Or, like, shecht an animal to give meat to a chol sheish v'sakana. Okay, we have different medicine, but in their days, they didn't have surgery. They didn't have antibiotics. They didn't have hospitals. What did you do for someone who was a chol shvisha sakana? You gave him good food, and maybe that would help strengthen him, and he would get better. So, what if someone's a chol shvisha sakana, and you need to shech meat for him, or you need to cook food for him? And without getting well, the last
how
part.
How sick exactly is
that person going to be? Sakana, they're going to die.
They're
in danger of dying.
Okay.
They're about to die. Ooh, okay, so
It's not Sulamaisa, because we would just call
it. Right. But the principles are Sulamaisa. So the Gemara brings up two problems. One is Mukta. What's the problem? The problem isn't, hold on, let me go back. The question isn't, can you give the chola the food? Obviously you can give the chola the food, because otherwise he's going to die. The question is, could you eat the leftovers, right? Can you eat the leftovers? So what are the two halachic issues? One is mukta. Maybe the leftovers are mukta. You can still feed the chola, because he's dying. He's a lot of violent mukta. But you can't eat the leftovers for yourself, because they're mukta. Why are they mukta? Because when Shabbos started, they weren't fit for use. Right? A live animal that wasn't shechted is not fit for use on Shabbos. Raw food that's not cooked. So what does the Gemara say? This is a problem for a shochet on Shabbos. Why? Because the animal's alive before Shabbos. It wasn't ready for use. But not for Mevashel, because even though the food was raw before Shabbos, it was still fit for use. If you're in the mood, you could choose some raw meat. Then the other problem was what's called Gzeira. Gzeira Shemayarbe Bishmilo. What does that mean? Now, this is a big problem in hospitals. It comes up all the time, right? What happens? Everyone knows that for sick people who are in hospitals, right? Generally, sick people in hospitals are, most of them are Chol HaShabbos HaSakana. Right? People go to hospitals because they're in danger. So you're allowed to do a lot of Chol Shabbos. So then, what's the biggest problem? The biggest problem is people start thinking you can even do Chol Shabbos for things that aren't necessary to save people. You know, well, if a guy's never Mechal Shabbos, you never Mechal Shabbos. Why do you think you're Mechal Shabbos? Once you're Mechal Shabbos with sick people, you start having a havamina that you can also Mechal Shabbos a little for yourself. This is the biggest issue with medicine in America nowadays in terms of doctors and Shabbos. Is the biggest issue is not like treating patients on Shabbos who are dying, but the question is, can doctors like make up more heterim for themselves? They can even mechal Shabbos for themselves also, for their own convenience also.
Like, what's an example?
Okay, I'm
like your phone, like, you know, you have to check page.
We're not going to get into too many examples.
Well, you're not talking about. Something like, well, obviously, if the guy's in real danger, you could do a Shabbat to save him, help him, or whatever. But some other aspect of the medical work that doesn't.
Right, like, if I'm driving to the hospital to go save someone who's dying, I could also stop on the way and, you know, visit a friend and do an errand or, you know, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? I could also, you know, pick up a newspaper. I could also, okay. I don't want to go into all of the details now,
okay,
just because there's probably like some big donors to REITs who are doctors, and I'm going to lose my job if I actually say all the halachas truthfully. But you see how that could be a big problem. So what's the chashash here? The chashash here is much more local. Shemayarbe bishvilo. If I'm cooking for the sick person who's dying, I'll also throw in a little for me. If I'm shechting for the sick person who's dying, I'll also shecht a little for me. Obviously, which of those is a chashash, which of those is not a chashash? The cooking is a problem, because you have to throw, I could throw in more. I'm cooking 1 liter of soup, I'll cook 2 liters of soup. Shechting is not a problem, why? Because the principle of Ef Shalik Zayis Basar Blo Shechita, similar to the principle of Ner Le'echa Ner Le'meya, either it's shechted or it's not. You don't shech more to get more meat. Like, an animal is big enough for two of us. Right? So, either it's shechted or it's not. Basically, there is no such thing as shechting more for myself. I'm not just shechting a second animal. Right? An animal is very big. So, by Shechita, there's no problem. So, that's what he says. This is a problem for the Mevashel. This is a big problem for the Mevashel. Yeah, I need to cook 1 liter of chicken soup to save this dying person. I'll cook 2 liters, I'll also have some nice chicken soup. That's a real gzeira. So what's the gzeira? Even if I cook 1 liter and he ends up not drinking it, not eating it, I can't have that liter of soup, because next time I'll throw in an extra liter for myself. That's a chash. It's a real chash. I cook a liter of chicken soup for the sick guy, and it turns out he eats half a liter and feels better. So I might think I can take the other half a liter, but once I get used to enjoying the soup, next time, I'll throw in a little extra for myself in the first place, and I'll be Mechal Shabbos for no reason, for no justification. But Shechita, if I shecht an animal, and he eats, you know, one pound of meat. I can also eat a pound of meat, because you don't have to shecht any more to get 2 pounds of meat. Once you shecht an animal, it's all shechted, and there is no extra work. It's like if I turn on the light for the Chol Shabbos, I can also use the light. Like, it's the same light, right? This gzeirah is only shayach when you have to add each unit. But if you just do one unit, it's good enough for everyone. There's no gzeirah. So this problem for Mevashel, not for Shomachit. Now, yes?
It seems very similar to what we do by Erev HaShilim. Like, if we cook more, thinking that, like...
What you're saying is Rebu Shirim is mutter for Erev HaShilim. Okay. You can't compare the question of Shabbos to the question... He says, what was your question, actually? I cut you off, and I made up your question.
This is my question. My question is, by Erev Tavshilin, sometimes you're allowed to make a little more for yourself. And then if you happen to have leftovers, fine, so you use it for Shabbos.
Yes, we do know that on Yontif, you're allowed to cook, even if you don't have an Erev Tavshilin.
Right.
Isaac means, you're allowed to cook for Yontif, and have extra, and eat it on Shabbos, even on purpose. So this is the famous question that Ron deals with in Beitza and others. How come Ribu Shiurim on Shabbos is Usser, but Ribu Shiurim on Yontif is Mutter? Okay, that is... So let me just go back for 1 second. What's the assumption? The basis for this is that Ribu Shiurim is Usser, right? Ribu Shiurim means... doing more of a shear, right? More of an amount of, not more actions of halacha, just more amount of halacha than you are allowed to. Now, just to be fair, what kind of the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham point out, there's two ways to be marbe b'shvilo, one of which is much more chomer than the other. What are the two ways to be marbe b'shvilo? What are the two ways you can add to what you're cooking for the sick guy? What's the worst way to do it?
As it's cooking.
While it's on the fire, I already put... I already put 10 meatballs on the fire for him. Now I add another meatball for myself. Because that's a new maisa. A new maisa is for sure asur d'oraisa. I already put all the meat for him. Now I'm adding a new maisa for myself. That's called Ribu Shiurim. Right? In two maisas. In an extra maisa. That's for sure asur d'oraisa. Because it's not really Ribu Shiurim. I'm not adding the amount. I'm doing a new bishul. I already put 10 on the stove. That's all he needs is 10 meatballs. He'll get better. Or he won't get worse, or he might get better, or, you know, whatever medical effect, it'll help him medically, right? Now, and he's totally taken care of. Now that I totally took care of him, I add another 2 meatballs for myself. That's Pashat Chol Shabbos D'Oraisa. That even Ribu Shiurim. That's just a new malacha.
It's like, instead, like, let's say I cut him a half a kilo of steak. I cut him a kilo of steak and put that on the plate.
Exactly. That's Ribu Shiurim in one maisa. Or I just take the pot... and I put 2 liters of chicken soup in the pot first and then put it on the flame, right? That's in one maisa. So what's the case of Ribu Shiurim? If it's in a second maisa, that's Pashut Aser Min HaTorah. That's not even Ribu Shiurim. That's just doing a new maisa. Ribu Shiurim is, what if it is all in one maisa, right? Like Rafi's example, right? Not that I cut one steak, put it on the grill for him, and then cut another steak, put it on the grill for me. That's Pashut Chol Shabbos. That's not even Ribu Shiurim. The real case of Ribu Shiurim means, no, I just cut a thicker or longer steak, and I put it on for both of us. So it's just more amount in the same maisa. Or, again, not I put 1 liter of chicken soup on the fire, and then pour in another liter for myself. That's Pashut Chol Shabbos. I just originally put in 2 liters of chicken soup, and then put it in the fire. That's called Ribu Shiurim in one maisa. This is the actual sugya of Ribu Shiurim. Ribu Shiurim means I don't do more Chol Shabbos. I just do a larger amount. And this is a machlokas Rishonim, quotes the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, whether this is Asur D'Oraisa or Asur Midrabanan. This is a machlokas. Whether it's Asur Midoraisa or Asur Midrabanan. You should know, I don't want to get into it now, but this is a big, big, big shaila in army halachas and other things. Is Ribu Shiurim in one maisa, not in 2 different maisas? Is Ribu Shiurim one maisa or Nisur D'Oraisa or Nisur D'Rabanan? there's a tremendous nafkamina. If it's an issur d'oraisa, then basically there's no wiggle room at all. There's nothing to talk about. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in a different sefer, he leaned towards saying it's issur d'oraisa. However, a lot of posts say it's only issur d'rabbanan. Nafkamina is, for a lot of these cases, for example, let me just give you a classic example that comes up all the time in the army. You know, a soldier has all his, like, ikker stuff that he really needs, and he's fighting on Shabbos. Like, maybe he has his tefillin, he has his talis, he has his, you know, other ikker stuff that he needs, whether it's chetzu shel kedusha or just something that's a big hefzed. What happens if he's fighting on Shabbos without, usually where you fight wars, there's no eruv. Right? He's fighting on Shabbos someplace where it's a makom of hotzah. What does he do with all his stuff? Right? So this is, now, to just stam, carry his stuff without an eruv, what's the heter? Right? Okay, the tefillin, maybe you could already start, even that's not so pashut. But certainly for other stuff, you know, tefillin, there are special coolers built in, but still not such big coolers. So this, what if, you know, the issue always is, the question becomes, what if you put it together in the same bag with the stuff you need for pikuach nefesh? You put it with your gun or with your ammunition or with stuff you need for pikuach nefesh. Then it's rebush yurim. It's all in one bag. You're just picking up one bag. There's just more in the bag. That's real rebush yurim. It's all one ma'isa. With two ma'isas, to pick up one bag with your ammo and one bag with your tefillin, that's pashat usher. What if you put your tefillin and your ammo in one bag? And now it's rebush yurim of just one ma'isa. So that's a big shayla. Is that an isidor ma'isa or is that an isidor abonim? And halach l'maisa, what they do when they're really stuck is, given that we're not really dealing with the d'oraisa anyway, because where they fight wars is not a rishus rabba d'oraisa. They don't fight wars on Broadway or on Highway 1. And even according to the Briskers, where they fight wars is not a rishus rabba d'oraisa. Right? They don't fight wars on, like, main streets with lots of people coming through. You know, they fight in mountains and hills and valleys and, you know, all kinds of strange places or, like, little dirt paths. You know, not on, like, real highways. So therefore, it's the only drabbanan to start with, and if you do rebush yurim, then according to many who showed them, it's only a double drabbanan, it's only drabbanan of a drabbanan, and there's many other stud in lahakel, the ma'isa, they're no pig when they're stuck to be makil, and if you ask guys in the army, again, this doesn't come up all the time, because usually they're not fighting wars, usually they're training, or doing shmira, etc., and no, there's no coolest for that. That's just a regular routine, so you work out your routine that you don't have to be mechal Shabbos. But when you're in the middle of a war, and you have stuff that you can't really just be mafkir, then they're makel based on rebush yurim, when it's not a rishus rabban d'oraisa anyway, to do hotzah that way.
My friend told me he got in a fight with his mifaked, whether he should do shmirah with his vest, whether he has to do shmirah with his vest. Because he said he doesn't need his vest for Shabbos to just, like, guard the base or anything.
Babies.
What's a vest?
Like, the whole, like, you know, like, they wear, like, a lot of stuff. I don't know.
Aha, all the other stuff. Okay.
But he's
so,
wearing it. Why is that?
No. The vest has pockets with all kinds of stuff in it. Meaning it's a standard vest that you keep stuff in. He doesn't mean just the vest.
Also, if the Kira is the Mice and Malacha, as opposed to if it's, like, walking out of the, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, then it doesn't matter how many bags you have.
Yesh la'ayin. Anyway, I don't want to totally get into this now, but it's just in one place where this whole thing of rebush yurim, like what you hear, is very theoretical. Because lemaisa, what do they all say? They all say that this is all theoretical, but the Gemara says shema yarbi b'shvilo. So lemaisa, if rebush yurim is d'oraisa, they probably meant shema yarbi b'shvilo after that d'oraisa. What if rebush yurim is d'rabbanan? Why are they making zera? They probably meant Atiyar Rebishvil in the way that's Asher Menat Torah. So either way, there's some way of doing it wrong that's Asher Menat Torah, and that's probably what the Gzera was for. This machlokas is theoretical in our case, because remember, our case, no one was actually Mar Rebishvil. It's just a theoretical Gzera that might happen someday, but it does come up in a lot of areas of halacha.
So I just want to clarify what Rebbe meant when he kept saying that the kavana of the Gzera was the real Rebishvil is when you do it all once. But the Gemara was thinking about both cases, namely...
Correct, the Gemara was thinking about both cases, sorry. I meant that's the other, you know, the other sugya of Rebush Yurim. Not this sugya. This sugya is probably about this case, because that's the Reis of the Kuliyama. Right. Now, Isaac asked a famous question that the Ran asked and Bates and all the Rishonim asked. How come on Yontif, if Yontif is Friday and you forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin, you could just put an extra, not in a second Maisa, doing one Maisa, totally mutter if you need, you know, 10 liters of chicken soup for Yontif, it's totally mutter to put in 20 and cook it in half for Shabbos. If you need 50 meatballs for Yontif, it's totally mutter to put in 150 meatballs and cook them and have the rest on Shabbos. Why are we so makel on Rebus Shiurim on Yontif when we're so machmer on Shabbos, either Daraisa or Darabanan, and especially if it's on Shabbos Daraisa? So the Ran with a famous answer, which I'm not getting into at all now, he uses two very, very famous Lumdish words to contrast. Hutra dechuya, he says. Pikach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya. Dechuya means it's still usher, it's just mutter, because you can do it because of the necessity. You can do what you need. And if you marve, if you do extra, that's usher. However, cooking on yontif for food, ochel nefesh, that's hutra, that's heter gomer. If it's heter gomer, then no matter how much you do, it's heter gomer. Okay, I know that answer is very deep, and I haven't fully explained it, but we'll leave that for now. For you to again, you could look it up. If you can't find the Ran, I'll show you where it is. And the other Rishonim also discuss it. Okay, so the maskana of the sugya, which of these two issues is the maskana of that sugya? Gzeira shem yarva b'shvilo is the last line of the sugya, or mukta?
Unclear.
No, it's clear what the last line is. The last line is shem yarva b'shvilo. This is the maskana of the Gemara. What's unclear is, did the Gemara mean, skipping all the details, what's unclear, did the Gemara mean the issue of Shemayar B'Shvilo and not Mukta? Forget the Mukta Inyan. It's just a problem Shemayar B'Shvilo? Or did the Gemara mean there are two Inyanim? There's an Inyan, a problem Mukta, and a problem Shemayar B'Shvilo. So that's unclear. There's a Hilchasa. The end of the Sugya is clear, the Gzeira Shemayar B'Shvilo. But it's not clear if that was as opposed to the problem of Mukta or in addition to the problem of Mukta. And that is a famous machlokes rishonim. Let's just see how the Mechaber Paskins and Beis. Hashokah b'Shabbos l'chole, son of Shechs on Shabbos for chole, ben shechol me'esmol ben shechol ayom, whether he got sick yesterday or got sick today, mutter habari lechol mimenu chai. A healthy person is allowed to eat the leftover meat from the Shechita as long as you eat it raw. B'Shabbos, aval, and the Mishnah Berurah points out, Agav, that what can't you do before you eat the raw meat on Shabbos?
Salt it.
You can't salt it. Salting meat is usher on Shabbos. But you're allowed to eat raw meat without salting, even though it has blood. As long as the blood didn't move from place to place, it's not treif yet. You have to rinse it to rinse off the blood that's on the surface, but you're allowed to eat it with the absorbed blood raw. But if you're a mevashel or do other melachos for a chola, aser b'shabbat b'bari o l'chol shem shakana, aser for a healthy person or even a sick person, she'en bo sakana. He's the same as a healthy person. I mean, there's no hefter in chol Shabbos. D'chashinan shem ayar b'shvilo. Because the chashash shem ayar b'shvilo. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins bishol, says the Shulchan Aruch, mevashel, is the leftovers are also gzera shem ayar b'shvilo. How about Shochet? Is there a Gzer of Mukta? Says the Mechaber. Shochet is no Gzer of Mukta, right? Says the Mechaber. There is no Mukta. But this is a big Machlokas Rishonim, as we know, right? Between the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, and the Rashba versus Rashi and the Raven and the Ran, right? Something along those lines. What's the yisod of this? What's the yisod of this machlokes? So there's two cases of shochet. There's two cases of two scenarios of shochet. Again, is this likely to happen nowadays? We never check for chol. We hardly ever even cook for chol. But still, the principles could definitely come up.
Aren't there cases in halacha where somebody is not mom or sakana that they're going to die, but they're sick and are cool as a...
Not cool as for a Jew to do a malacha.
Right, for
a... we're talking about a Jew doing malacha here, so there's no coolness there. I mean, you can't be Mechal Shabbos, Mamash. So,
but I imagine that probably comes up sometimes, right?
Yes, that could, and we'll come back in a second. So, how about Chole Shechola Me'erev Shabbos Shachat lechole b'Shabbos. So if he was sick on Erev Shabbos, then is that a Machlokes Rishonim or not? If he was sick before Shabbos. What do we say?
No, it's good.
No, that's for sure no Muktzah. Why is there no Muktzah? Because you didn't put it out of your mind in Erev Shabbos. You knew you might have to, you might shecht it on Shabbos. It's not Muktzah. Because you knew you were going to shecht on Shabbos. Or there was a decent odds you would shecht on Shabbos because you knew the guy was sick. The Machlokes is Chole Shechola B'Shabbos, or sometimes it'd be Nechala B'Shabbos. Same idea. Right, if he only got sick on Shabbos, then when Shabbos started, you totally, what does Muktzah mean? You put it out of your mind from use on Shabbos. Shabbos started, I have a live animal. I have a sheep walking around my yard. Of course that's not for use on Shabbos. It's alive, and you're not allowed to shecht, and no one's sick. So that is the Machlokes Rishonim. Here we have the Rambam and the Riff and the Rush, who quote straight, and the Rashba, if I'm not mistaken. Right, who says, not Muktzah. And both the Rashi and the Raven and the Ran who say Muktzah. Right? So, the. Of course, you need to explain why it's not Muktzah. Taka, what do we assume? If you have a candelabra and it was lit when Shabbos started, it stays Muktzah all Shabbos, right? Because it was Muktzah at the beginning of Shabbos, it stays Muktzah all Shabbos. So, why in this case? What's the svara of the Mekilim? What's the svara of the...
Can we say we just set it aside in your mind?
What?
Can we just say, as long as you set it aside in your mind, it's fine.
I'm not sure you
can... It's not mostly because you set it aside.
What do you mean? No, you set it out of use. When Shabbos started, no one was sick. It was a live animal. You thought you wouldn't use it on Shabbos. So why is it not Muktzah? Why is it any different from a candle that blew out on Shabbos? Right? Why is it not Muktzah? After all, whatever was not useful when Shabbos started, again, a fire that was lit when Shabbos started is Muktzah all Shabbos, even if the fire goes out. So here we have two answers. There's a very strange Taz, which is not strange. First of all, it's a strange Svar, and second of all, it's strange that he ignores what we see also quoted from all the Rishonim, so I don't totally chop why. Well, first let's think of all the Rishonim. The Rishonim say very pashat, because Kaimalan Kirab Shimon, there's machlokas for Shimon of Yehuda, whether Muktzah is Asur or Mutter and Shabbos, meaning whether we hold from the Asur Muktzah or not. You'd be surprised to know that we pass like Rishimon that we don't, that there is no Asur Muktzah. Except in very limited circumstances. And then by the time we get to Halacha L'maaseh, we expand those limited circumstances a bit. So it seems like we hold there isn't Isur Muktzah on Shabbos. But we paskin on Shabbos at least, not on Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, like Rav Shimon, there's no Isur Muktzah. What does the Gemara say Rav Shimon? La'asur Rav Shimon Ella, you know, the Shemin Shemineir and the Grogus of Tzimukim. The Gemara seems pretty explicit that Rav Shimon only asurs Muktzah in a case where you have which two factors? Dachim Yadayim, you actively make it useless on Shabbos, and you actively set it away from Shabbos use, and Lochazi, right? If you just actively set it away for Shabbos use, like for example, if I have, what's a good example? I have plastic cups, and I go put them in my store, and I say, I don't want to use these on Shabbos, I'm going to sell them in my store during the week my store is open. Since we hold like Rav Shimon, you could still go and take them out of your store, assuming there's an Erev, or you can get through without the street, and use them on Shabbos, because they were never made useless. They're still useful cups. Right? Only if they're not good for use when Shabbos starts, and you actively made them not good for use. So, kind one for Shimon, the A Mukta, Ella M. Kane, Dachye B'Yadayim, the Lochazi. Lochazi means it's not useful. Okay, a live animal's not useful. But live animals in Dachi B'Yadayim. Dachi B'Yadayim is Grogers to Tzimukim. I take things and I put them someplace to dry, and now they're not useful because they're half wet, half moist, half dry, and I put them there myself. Or I wash my clothes and I make them wet, and now they're not useful because they're wet, and then they're Muktzah all Shabbos, even if they happen to dry. Or I light my Shabbos candles, or my Hanukkah candles. I make them not useful because they're lit fire on Shabbos, and I did it b'yadayim. But over here, I didn't do b'yadayim. What do you mean? I didn't make this animal not edible. It was born alive, right? It happened, but God made this animal alive, not me, right? So I passively didn't make it useful, but I didn't actively set it to make it not useful. So, and therefore, right, v'kan lo d'cha'o b'yadayim. Clearly, I didn't actively set it aside for use. The Taz, very, very strangely, and I don't really understand this Taz, because like all the Rishonim say the same Hesber, so why does he need to give a different Hesber? I really don't understand this Taz. The Taz gives a different Hesber, which all the leader are going to ignore. And the Taz says that, that when do we say, why not Mokta after all? It was Mokta when Shabbos started. Anyone know what we call the rule that whatever's Mokta when Shabbos started stays Mokta all Shabbos?
Exile.
What?
Exile.
Exactly. That's the rule called Mimidus Katsari, which we do hold from. Even we of Shimonix hold from this rule. What's the rule? The rule is called Migu Deis Katsari Lebena Shmashos Is Katsari Lekule Yoma. That's a rule of Mokta. Whatever is Mokta Bina Shmashos stays Mokta all Shabbos. And again, that's why you can't move the Shabbos lichters even after the flame goes out. Since it was Mokta at the beginning of Shabbos, it's Mokta all Shabbos. That's why if you have your clothes out on the clothesline and they dry on Shabbos, you can't wear them. Because since it was Mokta, because it was wet clothing is Aser. The Gzeir of Schita, when Shabbos started, it stays Aser all Shabbos. That's why, you know, whatever, similar examples. So, the Rishonim, right? Yeah, but in this case, we're Mekel. The Mechaber's Mekel, right? This is the Mechaber. The Mechaber's Mekel. Why? Because that's only if you were Docha B'Yadayim. But over here, you didn't actively make it useless, make it not Shabbos useful. It was born that way. God made it alive, not you. The Taz gives us different Hesber, which is a little strange again, and everyone ignores because the Rishonim give a Hesber. So why does he need to give a different Hesber? Not clear to me. I'm sure he had a reason. It's just not clear to me. He says that we only say Migu de'iskatsoi when the object changes, not when the person changes. What does that mean? Meaning, when do we say if it was us at the beginning, Shabbos Aser all day long, when the object changed? Like, the candelabra used to have a flame, and the flame burnt out. Your clothes used to be wet, now they're dry. But over here, where it's not the animal that changed, it's the person who got sick. When a person gets sick, you don't say Migu Diskatsai. When the person changed, then, and what's the svar? The svar is Migu Diskatsai means whatever status the object has, the object keeps that status. But over here, this object, this cow or this sheep, was always Mutter Shecht if there would be a chola. So therefore, now there's a chola, we see it was always Mutter Shecht for a chola. Okay, it's a very strange svar. I don't pretend to understand it. We can go into it another time. Lamaisa, everyone agrees with the what the Rishonim say to defend themselves, that we hold like Rabbi Shimon. Now, what did the Machmirim say? Okay, I don't want to get into it. What did the Rashi and the Rebbe and the Ran say back? What does the Ran respond? What does he say back? He has to say back one of two things, which the Ran, no, he asked him, he does. Either he says that not shechting an animal is like the Chiyah of Yadayim, because since you could have shechted it and didn't, it's as if you actively not unshechted it. Or he has to say that Rav Shimon's only Mekel when you weren't Doch of Yadayim and it's something predictable that made it useful. Like something predictable happened. Then you say you weren't Dokhbi Yadayim, and you knew this particular thing might happen, it might be mutter. But someone getting sick, Holoshus, is kind of unpredictable. And in that case, everyone's voted this. So what does he say? He says either refraining from shchita is dechiyah biyadayim, which is a big chiddush, or Reb Shimon is machmir if the change was very unexpected. Meaning, Reb Shimon would be nakel if something was mukta, and then it became useful in a way that you could have predicted. But over here, someone getting sick is such a rare, unpredictable occurrence that you really never thought anyone would get sick. And therefore, you put, even without the chiyah b'yadayim, you put it out of your mind. The chiyah b'yadayim is to put it out of your mind when you know it might turn mutter. Or it will turn mutter, like a candle goes out and clothes dry. But if it's a one in a million chance that it'll turn mutter, even if it weren't dochiyah b'yadayim, you totally had it out of your mind, because what are the odds someone will get sick? Okay, this is really in yonim chamurim, deep in yonim of migo. We're not going to totally get into them. L'maisa, the Mechaber, Paskins here, L'kula, and the Mishabur agrees with him. We pass like the Mechaber, L'kula, the Pashim Shach, because we hold like from Shimon, and there's only Migudis Katsoi if something was not useful on Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, and the reason it was not useful is because you set it aside with an action. Here, since you didn't set it aside with an action, therefore, it is not mukta. Okay, just one or two more details. Says the Ramah, "Vafilu bishol yakam also for Shabbos." This zerub shemiyar with the shvilo adds the Ramah a big kiddush. Even for meleches akum, it's really not such a big kiddush. If you look at the sugyas of akum, you see a lot of precedent. But even if a goy cooked for a chola, which could even be a chol she'imbo sakana goy can cook for, still it's also for a regular person to eat, gzeir she'imayar v'bishvilo. This comes up a lot. A lot of people have goyim taking care of cholos. A lot of people have like a sick person, and not so much in America. In America, when, you know, your parent gets old and sick and not capable of taking care of themselves, you send them off to a nursing home and say goodbye. But in Israel, someone's parent gets sick and they don't have a lot of nursing homes, when someone's parent gets sick and can't take care of themselves, they keep them in the house, and they hire, the medical term for it is a Filipino, which doesn't mean someone from the Philippines. It just means once upon a time it was from the Philippines. No one's from the Philippines anymore. They're all from Sri Lanka and other countries. They hire a worker, a home health care aide, to work with them full time. This home health care aide is taking care of a chola. They're allowed to do a lot of malachas. But if they do malacha for the chola, if it's a malacha like turning on a light, then you're allowed to benefit from it. Why? Because they don't turn on extra lights for extra people. But if it's a malacha like cooking or anything like that, then you're not allowed to benefit from it, even though only a guy did it. Because next time, they'll purposely throw an extra for you, and that would be usher. So that's a real halacha maisa that could come up. Also, you know, that come up in a lot of cases. Hospitals also, even the frumest hospital, they're going to work for the cholim. You have to be careful that you shouldn't, if it's not medically necessary, you're not allowed to benefit from a bishul kind of work, only from a shechita kind of work. That's the Ramah, yes.
That's only within Daraisins, meaning if it was Darabanan anyways, you'd be able to benefit from it.
No, even if the guy did a Darabanan, you can't benefit from it.
I remember my message. Didn't we discuss last time that the chiluk of being nana, oh, that was a Jew.
Yeah, that was a Jew. Even if the guy did a, and besides the fact, here that's about knas. Here it's not an idea of knas. Here it's an idea of zera. Right. Even if it's only drabana,
that's a shoot.
But that's only mutter makom. Yeah, it's not mutter stam. It's not mutter stam. Okay, says the mashabura though. However, there's no esur b'chdei shiyas saying zera shemiyar b'mishvilo. That's only in a knas. There's no esur b'chdei shiyas. He also points out here that, hold on, if a guy cooks for you, you have a different problem. If the guy cooks for a chole, whether yeshbo or imbo sakana, perhaps, what's the other problem that comes up? There's nothing to do with Shabbos. Bishlakum. What about the issue of bishlakum? So, again, the question isn't whether the chole can eat bishlakum. Of course the chole can eat bishlakum, otherwise he'll be in danger. Chole's allowed to eat pork. He's certainly allowed to eat bishlakum. The question is whether I can eat the leftovers even on a weekday. Because after all, it's bishlakum. So what do we say? If a guy cooks for a chole on Tuesday, for sure it's us to eat the leftovers. That's bishul akum. Question, what if a guy cooks for a chol on Shabbos? Why? Because a goy cooking on Shabbos is like a special category. Then on Shabbos, you have to tell the goy to cook, right? Because it's Chilul Shabbos for a Jew to cook. So there's a special Torah reason why a goy cooks for a chola on Shabbos. Because a Jew can't cook. And it's a, so therefore, if there's a special Torah preference for a goy to cook, right? If someone's sick on Shabbos, again, let's say someone's sick, Yeshbol Sakana, only goys allowed to cook for them, not a Jew. Even Yeshbol Sakana. Ashkenazim Paskin, if you have a goy, the goy should cook for him, not a Jew. So it's a Torah preference for the goy to cook. So if there's a Torah preference for the goy to cook, you think Chazal would have made a gzeira bishul akum when it was a Torah preference that davka the goy should cook? Why are they making a gzeira on something that the Torah tells you to do? So the Mishnah Berurah here says there's no iser bishul akum because since the Torah tells you to have a goy cook on Shabbos, why would there be a gzeira on it? It's a Torah thing to do. And therefore, if a goy has to cook on Shabbos for makom chola, there's no gzeira bishul akum. However, this is the big machlokes we've shown him. Comes up in Yoredeya Simon Simon Kuf Yud Gimel in the Simon of Bishul Akum. However, the Mishnah Berurah over here is Mekel, but the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shin Chav Ches have cut in Samach Gimel. Shin Chav Ches Samach Gimel changes his tune and he is Machmir and he says it's Treif. Most Achronim agree, most modern-day poskim paskin like the Mishnah Berurah later. Okay, this is a general question. Everyone could choose their own hashkafa. When the Mishnah Berurah is soser himself, is it just that he changed his mind, he's soser himself, and he's not always consistent, or does they have to be a teretz? Okay, that's a big machlokas among the modern-day mefarshim. Regardless of what the answer is, lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah is soser himself. You can come up with a teretz if you want. You could say one is Bedas Ramban, one is Bedas someone else. You could say there's a slight difference in the cases. Whatever, Lamaisa, what's accepted by the modern day poskim is that we don't pass like the Mishnah Berurah here. We pass like the Mishnah Berurah there. That's the simon of Chol B'Shabbos. So we pass in that if a goy cooks for Chol on Shabbos, itaka is Bishalakum. The Chola can still eat it because he's a Chola and that's Docha Bishalakum. But a Bari can't eat it ever, meaning even the Chola can't eat it after Shabbos. The Chol can eat it on Shabbos, because otherwise it damages his health. But even after Shabbos, not only can't I eat it, I can't even eat it after Shabbos, even the Chol has to throw it in the garbage after Shabbos, because it's really treif food of Bishul Akum. It's a light kind of treif. And therefore the Chol is allowed to eat it, because it's not pork, it's just Bishul Akum. So whether Yesh Bo Shekana or Ein Bo Shekana, he's allowed to eat it. Even if he's Ein Bo Shekana, he's allowed to eat Bishul Akum, because that's a light kind of treif, and they're a mekel for a Chol. But after Shabbos, you have to throw it in the garbage. That's how we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have to kasha the kalim. That far we won't go. Because there's a machlokas whether or not there's a bishul akum. And even if it is, there's a machlokas whether or not bishul akum trafes up the kalim. So sveik, maybe it's not bishul akum in the first place. And even if it is, maybe it doesn't trafe up the kalim. So the minhag olam, I think, the minhag poskim, is like the Mishnah Berurah later on, that if a goy has to cook for chola on Shabbos, it's treif. It's mutter for the chol on Shabbos because of the dechuya of his danger to his health. But after Shabbos, you have to throw it in the garbage.
Can we say what the shechita is docha, and one could be shechita the chol on Shabbos, and the bishul is also docha, and the bishul is docha for Shabbos, the chol.
Okay.
So then, if that's true, what we're saying now is, even if the shechita is docha for Shabbos, if I cook for the chol on Shabbos, then after, if the guy were cooked for him on Shabbos,
Yeah, because it's treif, it's bishul akum.
Is the shechita also going to be a problem? Like the shechita on Inruya also lacher Shabbos?
Well, it depends if a goy shechted or a Jew shechted, right? If a Jew shechted, then it's not bishul akum, right? Then it's for sure mutter after Shabbos.
So we're linking the bishul and the shechita together. Though. If the Jew did the shechita, but the guy did the bishul,
then the shechita is perfectly fine, and the bishul is bishul akum. If a guy did the shechita, then it's the mela.
Is there a difference if the guy in the hospital were to take a kosher packaged wrapped food, warmed it up on Shabbos? Now, obviously, it's cooled down after Shabbos. Now, what's the status of that food?
So, if it was fully cooked already, then that's mutter. That's because the guy didn't actually cook it. The guy didn't cook it. I mean, there's no problem with Bishul Akum if he takes the airplane meals, because the airplane meals are already cooked.
But
he's just warming up.
Even should we say that even if you're mashviach of food in some way, that's a different mashvishal?
If it's not bishul akum, are we talking about kashrus or Shabbos here?
in this case, it's Shabbos, and it's still...
Ah, okay. Meaning if a guy warms up an airline meal, al special akum, it's no problem because it was already fully cooked. Al Shabbos, it's a problem to warm up even fully cooked food on Shabbos, depending on how you do it. But everyone agrees that that iser becomes mutter once it cools down again, because now you're not nenef from his warming up.
Even if it's mashpiach the food? Even if the food was not...
Okay, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, but pashtus, that would be okay.
Wouldn't that,
I mean,
like, hospital food, is that...
I'm not getting into it. Okay, it depends. Depends which hospital. Sure, in Englewood Hospital it is. Holy Name in Teaneck. Not Englewood Hospital, yes. That's my hakra. Even though I have no direct information. It's just a hashara of the Alma. Okay, anyone who lives in Bergen County probably agrees. No? All right, whatever. Anyway, one or two last points. That says the Mishnah Brura, what if you had a case almost similar to this? Chole shechola b'Shabbos, the, let's just use a very strong word, v'katzru mechubar b'shvivo. Is it mutter? Now, it's not so much of an afkamina, because since you have to pick each one differently, it's also because gzeira shemiyarba b'shvivo anyway. But theoretically, is it mutter? So, says the Magen Avraham, no, it's not mutter, but it's still shemiyarba b'shvivo. Still, Shema Yarbe Bishvilo. Why is it not Mukta? Because Lo Dachya B'Yadayim. Even though it was attached to the ground or the tree when Shabbos started, you didn't actively make it useless on Shabbos. Because God put it on the tree or on the ground. You didn't actively make it useless on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Brura disagrees based on Rashi and Beitza. The Mishnah Brura paskins. Yes, the Svara is that Mechubar is more chumr. Mechubar is more chumr than live animals. Why is mechubar more chumr than live animals? The big machlokas. Some people say because it's so easy to pick a fruit. Whenever you don't pick a fruit, that is like being dochav yadayim. Because when you don't do a very easy thing, that's like being dochav yadayim. Yes. So the answer is for some reason mechubar is more chumr in terms of mukta, and therefore, even though we pass like Rav Shimon that a live animal that was shechted on Shabbos is not mukta because you weren't docha v'yadayim, mechubar that was picked on Shabbos is mukta. Not that it's so much of an afkamina anyway, because it's also shem yarbe b'shvilo, and if it fell off the tree on Shabbos, it's also aser gzeira that you might pick. So l'maisa, it's always aser. One last halacha for the Ramah, and then I have to go light Hanukkah candles. Says the Ramah, Hanukkah, one of the many miracles of Hanukkah is that I end shiur early. That's perhaps even a greater miracle than the oil burning for 8 days. Because the oil burning for 8 days is just an extension of Teva. This is mamash against the Teva. He says, "V'im katzas pirsim and amchubar l'chol b'shabbos afilo l'cholim b'od yom also l'bari b'shabbos shem shagodav l'holik b'shabbos v'yishem v'yishem b'mta." This is a big chiddush of the Ramah. Big chiddush of the Ramah. Why is this a big chiddush of the Ramah? Because even chole shechola me'erev Shabbos, even if the chole was sick on Friday and you knew you might have to pick things for him, if it's the katzar bishvilo mechomer on Shabbos, so the Mishnah Brura says it depends. If it was already fully ripe, then it's not mukta. If it was already fully ripe, then it is not mukta. Because, well, why should it be mukta? You knew he was sick before Shabbos, so you had in mind that you might pick it on Shabbos. Right? But, but, what if it was still growing? Then it is mukta. Why is it mukta? Because it's still growing. What does that mean? The Ramah says it's mukta because it's still growing, meaning, what's the problem of mukta still growing? What's the svara? So the simple svara is, says the Ramah, that what didn't exist, this is, by the way, they weren't cool in this whole discussion, what didn't exist during Bein Hashmoshos is not Mukhan. Mukhan is the opposite of Mukta, right? Meaning, part of this fruit didn't exist in Bein Hashmoshos, it only grew on Shabbos. So one 1/1000th of this fruit, or one 1/100th of this fruit, didn't exist before Shabbos. Therefore, it only came into existence on Shabbos. It couldn't have been prepared for Shabbos use. Even if you had in mind that you might pick it on Shabbos. You can only have in mind the fruit that exists. You can't have in mind to pick something that doesn't exist. I mean, psychologically you can't. Halachically you can't. Halachically you can't be making something that doesn't exist. So since more fruit grew on Shabbos, that's automatically mukta, because it couldn't have been prepared before Shabbos, because it didn't exist. And since there's some mukta in it, it's all mukta. The Mishnah Berurah ends up rejecting this. Mishnah Berurah rejects it, based on the Magen Avraham and the Magen Avraham, Gra, and Mishnah Berurah reject this Ramah. They reject this Psak. They reject the whole Psak. Why? Because they say, that's not true. How much do you think grew on Shabbos? More than a 60th or less than a 60th?
Yes.
How much grows in 24 hours of fruit? Obviously less than a 60th. So it's batel. And if you'll say, but Darshish Latun is not batel, who remembers the grapes? What's the rule? Yeah, Darshish Latun is not batel, but what's the one case when it is batel? When it first became usher, it was already in the Tarovis. Right? When remember when the grape juice comes out of the group, it's already in the Tarovis? Here, as soon as it grew, it was already in the Tarovis, so it's batel. We paskin against this Ramah, we reject this Ramah. What's pshat in the Ramah is strange, because he agrees to the rule that a Darshish Latun that is originally Nisarev is not batel. So it's not clear. Either the Ramah just made a mistake, which is unlikely, or the Beis Meir says maybe he had a totally different kavanah in mind that everyone misunderstood. Maybe what he really meant is that since you know you might have to pick it on Shabbos, but you might not, and you know that the longer you leave it on, the more it grows and you make money, therefore you really were makta and you weren't making it in your mind, because why would you be making something in your mind if picking it on Shabbos would cause you to lose money because it won't grow? So maybe he meant a totally different halach. Psychologically, before Shabbos, even though someone's sick, you have in mind that you totally don't want to pick that mechover, because you don't want to lose the additional growth. You don't want to lose money. Maybe that's pshat in the Ramah. If not, who knows what pshat in the Ramah is? L'maisa halach l'maisa, we reject the Mishnah Berurah, rejects this Ramah. He says pshat in the Ramah is it's usher, because the new part that grew is mukta, and it's not batel davashish matirin. And he's wrong, because davashish matirin is batel as long as it was born already mixed. And therefore, halacha l'maisa would be mekel. Again, these are weird cases, but you never know when something similar might come up. I will wish everyone a lichtig Chanukah, yes, an enlightening Chanukah. And I'm sorry, I have to run to go home and light my Chanukah candle so we can't start Sif Gimel, but I'm here to show on Tuesday. We will learn Sif Gimel. It won't take us the whole day. And a decent chunk of Sif Dalet. Yes, or you can walk me down.